I desire y'all's prayers again this evening. I have another, I guess you could call it New Year's challenge for us. Was sitting there thinking about the last couple of weeks, traveling to Kenya, the meeting there. And then, of course, thinking of the folks that were going to the Guthrie meeting. And even the folks that are now going to the Pacoima meeting. And I felt like the Lord had put a thought on my heart about those meetings. So, you know, Guthrie's wrapping up. We had a prayer request for safe traveling home. I know the Pacoima meeting, this is their first meeting. It runs through to next Sunday, I think, which is the 3rd or the 4th. Or actually maybe the 5th, now that I think it's the 5th. You know, they no doubt desire our prayers for their meeting. Do any of you have any idea of roughly how many meetings there were in the United States this year for different congregations? Just a rough guess. I went out to closer to 22. And that's, there may be a few I didn't get in there, but you know, 22 meetings just in the United States. And then, you know, we've had the meetings in Austria, the meetings going on right now in India. We had Brother Michael that went to Pakistan. And I felt like the Lord gave me a thought. And we know in Hebrew chapter 10, Hebrew chapter 10, starting in verse 23, says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And I felt challenged to bring the thought out this evening. Have we considered, when we normally read that verse, most people go to, dare I say, did you show up for church on Sunday? Are you a regular Sunday morning, Sunday evening worshiper? Do you come to Wednesday night services? But I felt like the Lord wanted to challenge us. What about the meetings? How many meetings did you make it to last year? Did you make it to just one? Did you make it to two? The meetings you didn't make it to, did you think to pray for them? Did you call somebody in that congregation or maybe send them an email or a letter and let them know that you were praying for their meeting, you was hoping they'd be blessed? Have you thought about even, dare I say, literally supporting the meeting from afar if you can't go? Sending a contribution. Something to help the work of the Lord along. How important are meetings? We just had one here this fall around Thanksgiving. Imagine what would have happened if we held our meeting and only those of us here tonight showed up. Nobody from outside. And y'all got to hear Chad and I preach a lot more than normal. Not to dig on Chad and I, either one, but we are still fairly new to this. How encouraging would that have been for you? Would it have been the same meeting to just come in service after service with the same folks you normally are with on Sundays and Wednesdays, listening to the same ministers that you hear all the time? How many times when we go to a meeting is it hearing from another minister we haven't heard from before that seems to just sometimes really draw thoughts out that we maybe don't get at home, dare I say? Proverbs 27 and 17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends." Do you know meetings are intentional from the Lord? The tabernacle was created so that people would have a place to come meet, to come worship together. It wasn't you just went by yourself to the temple. Everybody went to the temple. We have records in the Psalms of them singing songs as they traveled to go to the temple. to offer their sacrifices. What about getting to know people at meetings? How many of you all, if we had a bunch of ministers show up, but no actual, dare I say, lay people show up for the meeting, how many of y'all would find that as good? That we got a bunch of new ministers to preach at us, but nobody else. Nobody else to get to know. You know, sometimes my experience the last few years has been we can actually sometimes do more to a meeting just by showing up and getting to know people than sometimes the ministers. Have you ever thought about that? Why do you think that would be? Why would a regular person, a non-minister, going to a meeting be an encouragement for another congregation? Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Have we considered the impact of our lives on others if we go to a meeting? Do you know, I think about the folks in Miami, Florida. How many people are there? What's the size of their congregation? Anybody have a rough guess? If I'm right, it may be 4 or 5 people. If they had a meeting, do you think anyone else showing up is going to be an encouragement to them? I dare say it would be. Why? Because I just don't feel as alone in the world anymore. There's more people that believe like we do. There's more people I see. They show up. We fellowship together. We worshiped and prayed together. What does Jesus say about where two or three are gathered together in his name? What happens? He's in the midst. Didn't he show that literally? This morning I talked about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they were talking about what? Jesus. Pondering the events. Where was Jesus? He walked up to him. He joined the conversation. He's intrigued when you're willing to talk about him. If you think about the disciples, how many times did you hear about Jesus when he was risen that appeared to the disciples by themselves? He seemed to always, the mentions almost always seem to be appearing to the disciples in groups. About the only person we have record of where he appeared by himself was Mary there in the garden. And part of me wonders if that was because the others were in such a hurry to get back and tell people, they ran off before they got a chance to see him. Because it sounds like she stayed there mourning and looking for the Lord. Where was he? He was there in the garden. You know, the Bible actually talks about things being established by a multitude of witnesses. In fact, Paul, in a warning to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, at the end of that verse, he said, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." Now, he was actually referring to his teachings, the teachings that he was giving them, the warnings he was giving them. He was basically saying, you're not going to hear this just from me. You'll hear this from other preachers of the gospel. This is not going to be just my say-so. Have you thought about that if Jesus were to appear to any one of us, say tonight he appeared to any one of us by ourselves, wouldn't you want to tell somebody about that the next day? Guess what? I saw Jesus last night. But you're the only one. Now, what if he appeared to two or three people together? Now, when you go tell people, we saw Jesus last night, And if you don't believe me, guess what? We'll pick on Brother. Ask Brother Bobby. He was there. It adds a little more credibility to what's going on. In our lives, when we are trying to live for the Lord, and we take the time to go to another meeting and share worship and fellowship, do you know what happens? People start seeing, that brother visited us and he's living just like he's being taught. That sister visited us, she's living just like he's taught. The minister that came in, he's preaching, and he's preaching exactly what I see being lived out. The witnesses start building. The affirmation of what is true starts being put out through the Word of God, through the Spirit, through our lives. That's how we can sharpen our brother, how we can actually be consistent and help grow the church. I also want us to look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now I would like for us to think a little bit on this. It says the Lord keeps a record of every time we speak to one another about him. Every time you talk to a brother or a sister in Christ and you're talking about the teachings of the Lord, there's a record of that being written. If he takes note of that, how much do you think he takes notice of our meetings, of our large assemblies, where that is the whole purpose of why we're gathering together? It's not just the conversation between brethren. That is a focused, we're coming together to share and talk and learn about the Lord. Don't you think that's important to God? I also want us to think about what he said about the people who have these things recorded about him. What did he say they would be? And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. You want to be a jewel for the Lord? Every one of us has the capability of being a jewel for the Lord. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to teach Sunday school. All you have to do is go fellowship with the brethren. Encourage people. I would like for us as we go into this year to consider the meetings that are out there. Is there a meeting that you've never attended? And I would ask you, why not? And I don't want to take away from Monarch. I enjoy Monarch just like the rest. But talking to the folks in Pacoima, I don't think there's going to be any external ministers there this meeting. No one from outside is coming. I would ask us, is it so important for us to get to Monarch that we don't attend that meeting? What if everybody said in our meetings, you know what? I'm going to go to Monarch instead. Or I'm going to go to Guthrie instead. I'm going to make a choice here, and I would prefer to go to this other place. And then our meetings become just us. Would we want that? So I would challenge us. I realize we 22 meetings is a lot. I don't think anybody other than, and I'm not to pick on Brother Marty, but you know, that's his mission, if you will, that the Lord has given him. Brother Marty's about the only one I can think of right now that could probably make all 22 meetings. And even then, there might be questions with overlap and travel time. But I would challenge us, what meetings do we go to and why? Are we going to the meeting to worship the Lord? To encourage our brother? Or are we going to the meetings to be seen? Going to the meeting because It's what you do. Everybody that's saved should want to go to Monarch, right? I mean, Monarch is the national meeting. You should go there if you're saved. That, what if the Lord wants you to go somewhere else besides Monarch? I think of a message I listened to from Brother Mark Sammons, and he was talking about he had been at a meeting. I think it may have been up in Wichita or somewhere. And Monarch was about to start. And he said he was, the meeting was really doing good there in Wichita. But he wanted to go to Monarch. And so the meeting kept going along and the Lord really blessing it. But he wanted to go to Monarch. And so he wrapped up the meeting in time to make it to Monarch. You know, he said that was not the right thing to do. That the Lord talked to him about that and said it would have been better if you'd have stayed in that meeting. I would challenge us, because I believe that was in his message to young ministers that's out there online. I would challenge us to consider, why do we go to meetings? He felt like he had to be at Monarch. That's what he said. He felt like he had to be there as a standing minister in the church. He felt obligated to be there. But the Lord ended up telling him, you really didn't need to be there. I had something else I was trying to get you to do. So I would just like for us to think about these things. This year, as we go throughout the year, check the meeting websites and see what meetings are out there. Support all of them with your prayers. I think every meeting out there should be supported by prayer. I would challenge you to find somebody in that congregation or in that area. And even if you can't go, send them a note letting them know you're praying for them, for the meeting. Reach out to them during the meeting. Hey, how's it going? Are you getting blessed? Do you know what you're doing if you do that? You're helping encourage that person that even though people can't get here, they know we're having a meeting. They know it's going on. And sometimes that can be an encouragement to them too. I would also challenge you to prayerfully support those meetings from afar. It costs money to have a meeting. Do you know not all the congregations really have the funds to hold their meetings? And in some of the meetings that we've been to, sometimes afterwards we've heard conversations where people were considering, due to the attendance, should we continue to have this meeting based on the cost? You know what? If every person in every congregation just thought to send $5 to each meeting, it might be a lot easier for the folks to host their meeting without as much trouble to themselves. And then last but not least, I would challenge all of us to consider our attendance at meetings. What meetings do you go to and why? Have you actually asked the Lord, Lord, what meeting do you want me to go to this year? We all know what the Bible says about saying that you're going to get up in the morning and go to work. Now tomorrow's Monday. There's a lot of us men folk that we've got to get up in the morning and go to work. But what does the Bible say about that? Does it say that we should just say, well, we're going to get up in the morning and go to work? We have no choice. It's just what we got to do. Or doesn't the Bible say you should say, good Lord willing, I'm going to get up in the morning and go to work? So I would challenge all of us with the meetings to consider, ask the Lord, where would you like me to go in meetings so I can be an encouragement to my brothers and sisters? You all pray for me.